In the last part of the book, the writer uses Alma and Myers' mood and description to move the plot forward. Alma alternates between feeling worried for her daughter, happy at her daughter's improvement, and sadness at her husband's death. Mayor experiences a mix of emotions between feeling happy at being with Maribel and to sad and depressed when his father grounds him, to rebellious when he steals his father's car and skips school. After Mayor was told he wasn't allowed to see Maribel, he decided to skip school and show Maribel the snow. Maribel's parents got worried and Arturo went out to find her. Arturo goes to Garrett's house to look for Maribel and is shot by Garrett's dad. After Arturo dies, everyone who knew Alma's family chipped in to raise $5,000 to fly Arturo's body home to Mexico. At the end of the story, Alma and Maribel pack up and leave to get back to Mexico.
So, some questions we thought of were, number one, the one that is given to us in the packet. How are the experiences of immigrants in this section of the book similar to other immigration experiences we have studied?
There's certainly a lot of hardships.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of challenges.
Also death as well. That's a really common theme
for
immigration.
Yeah, losing a loved one. Like in a lot of the stuff we're reading about in the Syrian immigration project, we've had lots of, I don't know, literature about people that have died.
Yeah.
So another one is, I'm not very good at Spanish, but discuss Quisqueya's role in what happens to Mayor and Mirabel. Without her intervention, how might have their relationship and ultimately the novel ended differently?
Well, I think that, so Quisqueya was the one who told Maribel's parents that they had been in the car together, and I think that if she hadn't have butted in and told them about that, then you know they wouldn't have told Mayor that they couldn't see each other, and then possibly he wouldn't have taken the car to take Maribel to see the snow, and then Arturo wouldn't have had to go look for her, and then maybe he wouldn't have died.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because it's one of those things where there's so many different ways that you can trace it back to, like, oh, this would have changed this, or oh, this would have changed
they
this.
Even mentioned in the book
yeah exactly
how Mayor said you could trace it indefinitely.
Yeah, exactly, that's a good one. I just thought it was kind of funny that because you know Quisqueya is always the nosy one, the like what's the word, insecure one. And I thought it was funny that she, knowing how insecurity feels, she could mess with something that Mayor and Maribel had. And I don't know, it kind of bothers me that she said that because it wasn't really her place to talk about it, but it also makes sense. But it painted Mayor in a very bad light.
Yeah.
Like it kind of made him sound, I don't know, molesty or creepy, like he was doing something wrong when, I don't know, the book made it sound completely consensual.
And like, she was telling that to the Riveras just to like I said, to paint Mayor in a bad light, because
yeah,
I think
she was startup
drama, and she was annoyed at Celia for, and sort of at the Riveras for kind of like pushing her away, and like, because before the Riveras came to Delaware, she would hang out with Celia a lot, and then not anymore.
I think she feels replaced by Alma, and because the Riveras and the Toros kind of like used to hang out a lot, and now, or no, the Toros and Quisqueya used to hang out a lot, and now the Riveras have kind of like taken over and pushed her out. So my second question was, how do Alma and Mayor's point of view differ, and how do they play off of each other? There's some more here. Alma and Mayor are the primary narrators of this book, and yet they have very different voices and perspectives. How does pairing these points of view affect the telling of this story, even as they are punctuated by the voices of neighbors in the Redwood Apartments? So I hate to like jump in and answer my own question, but I thought it was very interesting because it showed a view of like both of them are immigrants, and yet one feels that he feels American. He does not feel like he, I don't know, his country loyalty is toward America, and Mayor and Almas is definitely toward Mexico. And it's kind of like dealing with issues of being like a first time immigrant for Alma, and where it's like she has no idea how to do anything. But with Mayor, it's like he's dealing with the problem that people don't see him the way he sees himself, where he thinks of himself as an American, but probably due to his home culture and his skin color and the way he speaks, other people don't see him the same way. And I think that's kind of like a big internal battle for him. What you guys?
I think the same as well.
Yeah. Also, this question stood out to me a lot. It was, were you surprised that the book takes place in Newark, Delaware, rather than in the larger Latin American communities of Florida, New York, Texas, and California?
No, I wasn't too surprised because immigration happens everywhere. It would have probably seemed like it would have been a better idea for a novel if,
yeah, more feasible.
Say, if you didn't put it in a common place that immigrants would go in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really shows that, like, if we think that we live in like a small city or something, or a town or whatever, we may think that all the immigrants are in just the big cities, and there's just one culture in like a small city or a small town. But really, even when you can't see it, there's immigrants all around you. And they're everywhere.
Yeah, that's actually a good response, like a really good response, because like at the start of this book, I was kind of confused. It's like, why would it be like placed in such a small town? Like that's, if I were an immigrant, I don't think that's where I would choose to go. But then it made me realize that they really don't have very much of a choice where they go. And they just go wherever they can find work and wherever they can find housing. And it creates this kind of giant melting pot of cultures, mm-hmm. even in a place that, like, because you don't think of Newark, Delaware as a Latin American, like a hub for Latin American people, but that's probably because it's a hub for Latin Americans as well as European immigrants or Asian immigrants or people that are already living in America, and it kind of just creates this big blend. And I found that interesting. All right, Diction Detective, would you like to share what you wrote down?
Well, yeah, sure. I would like to share what I have written down. So there are a lot of pages in the book that were very interesting, many phrases, but these are the three that I thought stood out most to me. Here, starting from page 218, being the person that I am, loving to define words in a dictionary whenever I cross upon one that I am not particularly familiar with, that word being sullen. And as I chose it for reasons aforementioned, because I don't know what it means, and I have this affinity for looking up definitions for words. And when I found out what it was, what its definition was, it turned out that it was a powerful alternative to gloomy, not to mention quite archaic.
Yeah.
And for the second one,
Real quick, I just want to add to sullen. I thought, sorry.
It's all right.
I just thought that sullen really described how Mayor was feeling, because like with gloomy, it's kind of like a down and depressed, or with like depressed, it's just more sad. Like, sullen really combines this, like, the whole anger part of it well, because he's totally mad at his parents and his family because they are keeping him from this girl he loves, and he feels like they're holding him back and that they don't understand. And I just thought sullen was a really good word for the situation because it covered all the bases.
Mm-hmm. Really fit perfectly.
Of course. And for my second phrase that I chose, in 200, page 226, it was, "That's it, young Jedi, go forth and prosper." Now, I chose this because it's, if you were a Star Wars or Star Trek fan, none of this correlates together.
Yeah.
It's two complete different fandoms.
Yeah.
All in one sentence. And I assume it was Mayor that said it, wasn't it?
I think it might have been Mayor's friend.
William.
Yeah, it was William directed at Mayor.
When
but
he
yeah.
was teaching him how to drive the stick shift.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it was Mayor the first time I read it. And when I thought Mayor has said it, I thought it was kind of like showing some assimilation of like an immigrant trying to fit in. But that is if Mayor was the one who said it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really certain for me because of context.
Yeah, I completely understand your thinking. And I think it might have been an even better plot device if Mayor had said it rather than William saying it. I think it was more intended as humor, but I think I like your interpretation of it way better than the book's interpretation of it.
Of course. And for the final phrase that I had, which was from the chapter Michel Alvarez in page 236, it's actually a whole line.
Yeah.
"These people are listening to the media, and the media, let me tell you, have some effed up ideas about us." And the reason why I picked this is because the media itself is a very controversial topic in itself. And a lot of people don't actually trust the media because of its one-sided biasness, as they would call it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really consider what the other side has to say.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think in the media, oftentimes, news channels, for example, rather than give what the actual news is, or rather than be serious, they choose to put out what they know will generate views. So they would rather say a cat goes missing and then is found half eaten from a coyote. They would rather say cat goes missing and then fights to the death with coyote in struggle for survival, rather than just what actually happened was the course of nature. Like, I feel as though news channels often like to twist the truth, and they don't tell the real thing. And so when it comes to a topic as sensitive as immigration, news channels or news in general, media will often kind of exaggerate as much as possible because it generates exposure for themselves rather than generating actual information.
The media is... Sorry.
No, continue.
The media is quite manipulative by nature.
Yeah.
No. Now, we must go on.
Yeah. How much time is left, do you know?
13.
We've done 13? Okay. Well, I know I for sure have some more questions that can be tied into this. I would like to go back, kind of, for the back in the book, and I have a question about Alma's lingering guilt about Mirabelle's accident and how that affects her choices up to the very end of the book. Do any of you guys have opinions on that?
Yeah, so I think she was dealing with a lot of guilt from the accident and felt that she, because of that and because of the way that this thing that Arturo said to her right after the accident, that it was like her fault and stuff. I think she was trying to feel like she could be strong and she could like make things right without telling him about the boy, or Garrett. But I think she probably should have told him earlier.
I think she, a lot of the time she chose to kind of try and handle things herself and make sure Arturo didn't have to get involved, because when she and Arturo got involved in something, it turned out bad for her, and it ended up, or from what she heard at least, it ended up being kind of her fault that Mirabelle got hurt. And I think she chose to not like collaborate with anybody and just to like try and handle it herself. to avoid, like, so she could be 100% the person to take the blame if someone happened, so then she wouldn't be, like, she would be able to blame herself as well, because in Mirabelle's accident, I think she, like, isn't sure for a while. She wasn't sure if it was her fault, and she had this all this conflicting guilt, because here's Arturo telling her it was her fault, and here she is feeling like it wasn't, like, completely her fault because she did nothing wrong. So I think with this, she wants to, like, if something goes wrong, she wants to be able to blame herself.
Not to mention, she treats Mirabelle with extreme caution, because she's very ready for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's always prepared for the worst case scenario kind of thing.
Yeah.
Especially Arturo, but
yeah.
which ultimately caused his demise,
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Yeah, they wanted to do everything they could to protect their daughter from any more harm, and I think that also kind of blinded them from thinking, I don't know, logically, because there was one incident in the past with some creepy boy, it doesn't mean that he could have taken her away. And I'm sure as a parent, I would have had, like, if I had known something like that had happened, I would have been suspicious of it as well. But I think they kind of jumped straight to conclusions,
mm-hmm.
and that caused Arturo's demise.
Especially because I think at that point in time, they may have, misinterpreted her condition, or how much better she had gotten in the 7 months, that just being with Maior, she really had improved so much that she could really, like, express herself in the way she felt about things. So, and if they had known that, then maybe they would have known that she had wanted to go off with Maior instead, they probably thought that she had been, like, helpless and had been taken, because she wouldn't have, there was no way that she would want to go off on her own.
Yeah, I don't think they realized how conscious she was about everything,
mm-hmm.
throughout everything. Like, it took somebody listening to her to draw her out, and I think Maior was that person, and I don't think her parents realized how much she needed Maior to stay, like, safe.
I think ultimately pushing him away really was probably one of the worst things they could have done.
Yeah.
At least for her and for her condition and stuff, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that. Okay, last question. Do you think other characters beside Alma struggle with guilt? And how does this emotion echo throughout the book, even among the varying narrators and voices?
I mean, with the word that I had earlier, sullen, we can infer that Maior also has a sense of guilt for what he has done. For he even partially blamed himself for Arturo's death.
Yeah.
But not only did he blame himself, he blamed all the other causes, like his father buying the car, and
you can't trace guilt back to one thing.
Yeah.
But also, sticking with Maior, I think Maior carries a lot of guilt throughout the whole book, because he, for one, has the guilt of not playing soccer, quitting the soccer team, which not only is guilt for disobeying his father, it's guilt for not being good at soccer, and guilt for not being good enough for his dad or for his brother, and it's guilt for not upholding the family name in soccer.
Yeah, not for being the person everyone wanted him to be.
Yeah, that
he just wanted to be himself.
Yeah, that goes back to the kind of, like, differentiation in views between Alma and Maior, where nobody sees Maior as Maior sees Maior. Like, same kind of goes with Mirabelle, I think, too, where I don't think anybody realizes how much she does, or how much she knows, or how much better she was getting. Like, all of them, Maior has this identity crisis where nobody sees him as an American, even though he sees himself as an American. Mirabelle has this, I don't think, or the people around her don't see Mirabelle as she does, because I think she thinks she's perfectly capable. Like, I think with Mayor's help, she could be perfectly capable. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of it was just up to circumstance. But, continue.
And I feel like she doesn't really, even when she doesn't like express herself, she is very conscious of everything around her. And I think that she would...
she understands what's going on.
Yeah, she understands what's going on. And she like can, if like maybe left alone for a little bit, maybe not like alone, but just like...
to do her thing.
And yeah, and just to like maybe outside, a little bit outside of her parents' extreme caution, then she could really understand herself and the world around her.
Yeah. I think this book was really deep and a really good read for us, and it showed us a lot. It gave us like a personal kind of interpretation with immigration, where it's not just news stories. It's we can understand how it relates to real people's lives, or not, well, not real people because it's a book, but how it can relate personally to people.
Of all the immigration things that I've read, this one seems to stand out the most because it seems the most realistic. Because of the words used and the conditions that the characters were in, the deaths of characters, especially, and a lot of the push and pull factors that each and one of the characters had to go through also seem pretty possible.
Yeah.
So, in the end, this book was really charming to read for the most part.
It was sad, I feel like, as well, and I think it taught us a lot.
For me, this kind of seemed like a Latino version of Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Mayor being Romeo and Maribel being Juliet, both of the families. I mean, not really both of the families, but, you know, not wanting Mayor to be with Maribel.
Yeah, they didn't hate each other, but they didn't want each other to really be with each other either.
And that's kind of how
Arturo died.
Yeah,
it always ends in tragedy.
Yeah.